I've told this story many times on the air, and I've told it many times as I speak around the country. When we launched Sports Byline USA back in 1988, my very first night, first hour, first guest on Sports Byline was Willie Mays. He was gracious enough to come visit here on the show in the studios. And from that particular point, we launched Sports Byline USA, and it's nice to have him back with us again. Willie, good evening to you. How are you?
Hi, Ron. Pretty good.
Good. Willie, when you stop to think about what baseball has meant to you and what you have meant to baseball, what thoughts do you have in both those areas?
Well, first of all, I think I love baseball very much. When I played 150 games for about 16, 17 years in a row. And what I try to do for the fans when I played is that I tried to create things as I went along. By that, I mean every day I try to do something different. And I never wanted to do the same thing, you know, day in and day out. And I feel that when the fans come to the ballpark and pay their money, they must see some kind of show. And that's what I try to do, you know, mainly.
How were you able to maintain that creativity for such a long time? Because after someone does something for a period of time, I would think it would get mundane.
Well, I don't think that was a problem, playing 150 games every year. You talking playing games every year?
Right, and also being creative and being entertaining as you wanted to be.
Well, what about an actor when he plays in 8 or 9 movies? He's creative. He doesn't have the same role, mainly. I think I was in that same category, so it wasn't really hard to create things. It may not be in the outfield. I may not be at bat. It might be on the base. So you never know. Or what you come up with. So what I try to do is just do something different somewhere in that area. If it was in the outfield, I would never catch fly ball the same way. I may catch it a basket catch, but something a little different.
Willie, you always had an enthusiasm for this game. What were the seeds of it? Take me back to the early beginnings of Willie Mays in baseball.
I can't take you that far back. I wish I could. I'd be playing now. I don't know. I never really look back on things like that because it's not really good for me to look back and try to figure out how did I get to this, this Hall of Fame type of thing. But, I love what I was doing. I love baseball, and I really appreciate baseball for getting me this far because even though I played the game. But you have to keep your body in really, really good condition to play 150 games a year, and that's what I did. Not just for the baseball season, but off season. I did more work off season than I did on season. On season, I would sleep a lot, and I never had no problem by getting hurt or anything like that. So, I think it was good for baseball was good for both of us.
And of course, when you came in 1951 back in New York with the New York Giants, that was almost like a golden age of baseball back then. You had three teams. You had the Yankees, you had the Dodgers, and you had the Giants. What was it like to be in New York with those three teams at that time?
Well, my first year was kind of scary because I came to New York when I was about 19, just turned 20. And coming from Birmingham, Alabama was very scary because New York, I had read about it, and I had played there for a couple of years with the Birmingham Black Barons, so coming back to New York, being a player and being a star in the outfield in New York, it was kind of scary. But we had three good teams at that particular in that area. There's never going to be a city, I think, that had three good teams like that: the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Giants. And like Mickey and I, we would laugh all the time. As long as they keep talking, let them talk. And we threw Duke in a little bit. And we always told him that, hey, you just ride our coattail, we'll be fine with you. So we just had fun back in the 50s, and it was no jealousy between the guys that played in New York. It was just pure fun.
Also, if you take a look at the polo grounds at Ebbets Field, they had distinctions. They were distinctively different. Can you talk about, first of all, the polo grounds where you played? What made it so unique?
Well, the polo ground started with 250 down each line and went out to around 477 in the corners. That means the left field gaps and the right field gap. Straightaway center field was 580. There was a fence out there where I made a catch in 1954, and that was about 458, right on the corner of the wall there. What made it so hard is that they didn't have padding on the wall out there. Everything was brick. And I really never had a problem myself because I'm playing center field, but it was a big center field. But, again, you don't play the center field. You play the hitters. You take a guy like Richie Ashburn, I would play him right behind second base because he was such a good hitter that he hit most of the line drive, so I would catch all of them. But you have to play the outfield rather than just playing, the ballpark.
Are you talking about the catch in the 54 World Series? Is that what
that was just one of them. I was just trying to give you a scenario about how you play in the Polo Ground, which was 580 compared to today, maybe 412, 420 or something like that.
What about Ebbets Field then?
Ebbets Field was about, center field was 397. Right field was 299. Left center was 347. Down the line was 340. It was like a little bandbox. We had fun over there. I myself hit close around 12 home runs there a year. And we only played about, I think, six or seven games there.
What has been the mystique about Willie Mays? Because the fans truly love you. I mean, when I was down at spring training with you this year and that young man came up to you and said, I didn't have a chance to watch you play in person. He said, but I just want to shake your hand. I think that says an awful lot about the love that baseball fans and fans in general have for Willie Mays. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a two-way street there. I have love for the fans when I play, and that's why I was trying to explain to you. I want to do something different for the fans each year, especially when they're young. And I think the guy that you're talking about might have been a young kid when I was playing. And I think he was trying to say to me, I want to give you something back, but only the only thing I have right now is like I like to shake your hand, and that was enough for me. So I think it was a two-way street there, you know.
You told me a wonderful story one time about your rookie year when you were in New York and about, I guess you had a room in a rooming house that was next to a grocery store, and every time you played the Dodgers, you would come home. You remember that story?
10:30.
Yeah, and tell everybody what happened.
Yeah, I didn't know all this when I first went to New York. I didn't know so many, you know, guys would bet on games, and I would go home around 10 or 10:30, and there was a street full of guys there, and I was wondering what, I thought it was a fight or something, but they was waiting till I go in the house, and then they could go home, because they knew that if I went home, I wouldn't come out, so they had a good chance of winning the next day, so I didn't know all this until at the end of the season. Nobody would tell me, so finally, one of my friends told me, so, you know, we bet a lot of money on you this summer. You know, we made money, but nobody ever gave me anything. So I don't know what they were doing, you know.
You hit not only for power with the 660 home runs, Willie, but you also hit for average. So you were a very smart hitter as well. Talk to me a little bit about the Willie Mays hitting philosophy.
I didn't have one. You see the ball, you hit it. My key to hitting, I think, was knowing the pitches. I don't think I was the best hitter. I was among the best hitters, but I wasn't the best hitter. Stan Musial, I think Joe was a good hitter. Ted Williams was to me the best hitter that I played against. But Hank was in the league too. They had also had Eddie Matthews. We had a lot of good hitters when I played. So it wasn't just myself hitting. It was just a matter of trying to put the ball in play all the time and hustling down to first base. I didn't have a philosophy of trying to hit. And I think, again, when you go up there trying to be too smart, I don't think you're going to hit. I think you just go up there and you hit what you just see. If you see a slider going the other way, you carry it to right. If he pitches inside, you carry it to left. And if he gets it down the middle, you just hit it straight away. So it wasn't anything different that I did from anybody else. It's just that I just hit what I seen, you know.
You mentioned about Musial, you mentioned about Hank Aaron and others like that and yourself, but there were also great pitchers during that period of time. Talk to me a little bit about the pitchers that you faced, the ones you respected, the ones that really truly challenged Willie Mays.
Well, they all did that. We had guys that would go nine innings when I played, Koufax, Drysdale, Bob Gibson. You don't talk too much about Robert Roberts, Craig Simmons. They had a kid in Chicago named Bob Rush. You had Warren Spahn, you had Lou Burdette. On every club that we played, you had three good pitchers that would go nine innings. We didn't have a lot of relievers in the time I played. Maybe a couple of clubs would have a fairly good reliever, like Elroy Face was one of them. Chris Castagne was one with Philadelphia. Clem Levine was with the Dodgers. Joe Black was with the Dodgers. So it wasn't really a lot of them, you know, that came into relief, because they never was used that much, because all the guys that won 20 games, they went nine innings just about every day, you know.
Willie, hold on just a second. We'll only keep you a little bit longer. As we get ready to go to the break, let's share with you a great moment. Willie Mays, the catch in 1954 in the World Series.
There's a long drive way back in center field, way back, it is. Willie Mays with a catch, which must have been an optical illusion to a lot of people.
So one of the great and many great moments that Willie Mays provided all of us in baseball and in sports. We'll take a break, come back, and continue with more of you on America's Sports Talk Show.